Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But please call Uber after you do.
Oh, it's a... Yeah.
Let's
for
not,
sure you can do. Have
be
that
responsible
set up.
Out there if you wouldn't mind.
Or do it in a place where you can just kind of curl up and take a sleep. That's also helpful.
Have you done that in the Fortress of Solitude before?
No, I haven't done an Irish car bomb in years. I think I retired it probably 9 years ago to the day yesterday.
Just retired.
That was it. We're done with that. We had enough for a lifetime.
Been there, done that.
That was it.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. So the reports are today that free agent wide receiver Jordy Nelson is visiting the Seattle Seahawks. But according to Adam Schefter, other teams that have interest in Nelson's services include the New England Patriots. Hell, at this point, you'd think they'd want anybody. They bring Jerry Rice out of retirement.
Is there any chance they don't sign Jordy Nelson? There's like 100% chance they're going to sign Jordy Nelson.
I mean, he's visiting Seattle right now, right?
All right, so unless they scoop him up. But if he gets out of Seattle without a contract, it feels like he'd be one of those guys. But it also, to me, feels like he'd be one of those guys that's in line with the Eric Decker, Reggie Wayne, where if you got them a couple of years earlier, you probably would have been better off than getting him now. But they got nobody. They didn't really address the wide receiver position as of yet. That's why all of a sudden these trades, now they'd have to make the salary cap work and they'd have to figure all that out.
Sure.
But
right now they have no salary cap room.
But you think if they're going to have a real receiver on the team, it would have to come through trade? All these free agents are getting snapped up. And then even the draft, I don't have a great confidence in them drafting the next terrific wide receiver. So I think it would have to be in some sort of a trade. And even then, I don't really know what the field looks like.
I mean, there are still some free agent wide receivers out there, including Chris Hogan, by the way. Available.
He's on the list out there.
We've seen other names. Jordy Nelson seems to make some sense. I mean, he's 33, though.
Oh, yeah. I think he's cooked. Now, his numbers last year with Oakland
are actually not bad.
No, they're not terrible, but he had three touchdowns. He played in 15 games, 739 yards, 63 catches. But that is a far cry from the player that he was. I mean, he was putting up twice that. When he was in Green Bay, he was a double-digit touchdown guy a ton. So that is certainly well past, or he is certainly well past his prime. Right now,
Michael Crabtree's on the list. He's out there.
I think he's probably better than Jordy Nelson.
Pierre Garçon's out there.
I like Pierre Garçon.
Robbie Anderson's out there.
If they went four wide right now, it would be Edelman, Philip Dorsett, Bruce Ellington, and Maurice Harris. Like four wide receiver. Obviously, they can go tight end. They can go running back. But if they just put out four wide receivers, I think that's what it would be. That is not great. There's no way Brady is thrilled with that.
Matthew Slater can't work his way into
that
group.
He's your fifth guy.
He's number five.
He and Braxton Berrios can come running in there as the fifth guy. But again, nobody's saying that you can't win with a bad receiving group, but it's just why kind of hamstring yourself that way? Why not give Tom Brady some more talent to work with?
One of the interesting stories I was reading over the weekend is, you know, as you get more and more of the Belichick coaching tree out there around the National Football League, and you added to it this year with Brian Flores going to Miami, but as you get more and more out there, you've got more and more organizations looking for what the New England Patriots are interested in.
Yeah.
You know, where Bob Quinn in Detroit has a similar philosophy. Robinson in Tennessee has a similar philosophy. This is where he grew up. Vrabel is a coach. Patricia is a coach. Flores is a coach.
Yeah.
They value what Bill Belichick values, so they're all looking for the same thing Belichick's looking for.
Yeah, they might want the same type of players, but they're not the same type of coach. And then that way you're not going to have the same results, right? Like Patricia, it's almost comical the number of former Patriots that he has. And not just Trey Flowers, Danny Amendola, but even think back to guys like Matt Castle, who he wanted to bring in, and LeGarrette Blount, and wouldn't they have Tavon Wilson? Like they've had all kinds of former Patriots on their team. You're right, Vrabel's going to do some of the same stuff. And But the big difference there is the coach. Like, you could get the same roster. Well, you don't have Brady, so that's right. Also a big difference. But you don't have Brady, you don't have Belichick. That, yeah, you might identify those players as guys that'd be good fits, but the real key is who's coaching them, and if they're on offense, who's throwing them the ball or handing them the ball.
Do you still have Jordy Nelson's numbers up there?
Yes.
Okay, real quick, go through them again, what you were saying.
Last season,
yes,
in Oakland, so he played 15 games. He had 63 catches, 739 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Would the catches and yards lead the Patriots this last year?
No. I don't think so. Why, do you have the Patriots numbers?
No, I don't. I'm curious. As you were reading them off, I'm thinking, God, that's probably pretty close to what...
Well, Josh Gordon was certainly on pace for more yards. Here, I'll pull up what their numbers were. No, he didn't get there. I don't think he got there. The Patriots receivers... Oh, that's playoffs. Son of a gun.
Son of a Seabiscuit.
Son of a gun is right. I'll have to get that in a second, but... Even if it did, I mean, that just goes to show you, I mean, because Gronk missed some games. Edelman was obviously suspended, so it's a little bit different.
Let's see. The leading receiver on the team last year had James White had 87 receptions, 751 yards. The leading wide receiver on the team was...
you get a scroll away, is probably...
Chris Hogan.
Was it really?
I'll take that back. He was targeted more.
Come on, Francesca. Give us the stats.
It's Julian Edelman. 74 receptions, 850 yards, 30 and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, so those were all better than Nelson.
Yeah.
But he played in fewer games.
He'd be right there. I mean, he'd be in the ballpark as Philip Dorsett, I guess.
But that shows you what they had to work with, which was not much. Right, so just, and listen, nobody's saying they can't do it, but the question is, why do that to yourself? Wouldn't you want to help Brady the best you can? Of course you would.
Now, think about this as well. In addition, and the obvious thing here is, you know, who did Jordy Nelson have throwing him the football in Oakland? Who did the receivers here have?
And Derek Carr.
You've got to think that Jordy Nelson's numbers would improve if he were here.
Yeah, maybe.
He'd have a much better quarterback.
I don't know, though. So he's going to be 34 when the season starts. I wouldn't want to rely on that. So now you go into the season potentially saying, well, Josh Gordon could return, and we have 34-year-old Jordy Nelson to go with Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris. Like, that does not really do you a whole lot of favors. I think you're better off trying to trade for somebody.
By the way, among wide receivers, leaving, you know, James White out, Josh Gordon had the second highest number of receptions on this team. Wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah.
Gronk is obviously ahead of Josh Gordon. Gronk had 47 receptions. Josh Gordon had 40.
Yeah, and he had 720 yards, and he had just as many touchdowns as Jordy Nelson did. You know, so he...
In 11 games.
For that 11-game stretch, he led the team in receiving yards. You know, and then who knows what would have happened if he was with the team all season. Josh Gordon's definitely a better receiver than Jordy Nelson is. It's just a matter of, can he even be on the field? But I just feel like Jordy Nelson is deja vu to all these receivers that they have brought in. I mean, you think about last year, it was Jordan Matthews and Eric Decker and Kenny Britt. You're like, oh, they're going to be fine. And no, they weren't. So even almost regardless of what Nelson's numbers were a year ago, I just think that's not a guy you want to, you know, have to rely on at all.
You've got to get at least one more wide receiver here, at least. And Jordy Nelson seems to make a lot of sense despite the age. Mm-hmm. You know, as we said, if you're looking at other guys who are still out there, Randall Cobb is still out there. He's 28 years old. Jermaine Kearse is still out there. He's 29. Robbie Anderson is out there. He's 25.
He's good. I like Robbie Anderson.
He's 6'3", 190 pounds. Too.
Yeah. Maybe you think he's too tall?
But he's a restricted free agent.
That's
second
right.
round that's tender.
Yeah. So there's an article on NBC Sports Boston. I don't know if Tom Curran put this together or Phil Perry, or I don't know who did, but it was basically potential Patriot trade targets at wide receiver. So sort of put the free agent class to the side. And so it's a nice little slideshow. People love clicking on slideshows.
I hate slideshows.
I know, they're the worst.
It really helps the websites, though.
It does. It's
I
multiple,
understand.
It's a lot
but
of
you
clicks.
Know what?
It's a lot of clicks.
I have a philosophical disagreement with them. I don't do
okay.
it.
Okay.
So if you click on an article,
right.
it's a slideshow.
I don't do it.
He's not doing it.
I'm out.
All right,
even
well,
if you're
I
interested.
Will do it. I will do
I'm
it.
I'm out.
So give me a yay or a nay on all of these names, all right? A yay or a nay?
These are trade targets.
These are trade
wide
targets.
Wide receiver trade targets.
Yes.
Yep.
Nelson Agholor from the Philadelphia Eagles. He is his contract $9.3 million in 2019, playing on his fifth year option, and then he's a free agent in 2020.
Probably a nay.
It's a nay. All right, it's a nay on Nelson Agholor. That's fine. How about this gentleman, AJ Green from the Cincinnati Bengals?
I've heard that one come up a few times.
$15 million base salary in the final year of his 5-year, $60 million deal. I am a yes.
While I'm a yes philosophically, I would love to have him here. I just don't picture Belichick bringing a guy in on a $15 million base for this coming
year. A lot of injuries there,
too. A lot of injuries. And according to this, they do a pros-cons. The cons, he's got the stink on him from playing for a loser franchise. That's mean. He's 30. He's not four times the player Julian Edelman is. They're basically pointing out that he's going to make four times the money.
Right, right.
Actually, Edelman is superior in every category except height. He also has stated he wants to stay in Cincy. So you must question his sanity. So that's actually, that's fair.
If you, it's a little
but
harsh,
that's also, that's but the team you're playing on. All right, what about another Bengal, Tyler Boyd, who's making less than $1 million in the final year of his rookie deal? I don't know why they would trade him, though. I like Tyler Boyd. You can play a little dingy for me, please?
You don't mind.
A little dingy.
I was waiting to get the consensus.
All right, Dale, Tyler Boyd?
I have no problems at all, but I'm with you. Why would they trade
him? I don't think they would. 6'2", just over 200 pounds. Josh Doctson from Washington. You don't want it? All right.
Jeez. The stench of playing for the football team in Washington?
I guess. Maybe it is.
Notice how I didn't say the word?
I know. That was very, very strong of you. What about Jarius Wright from the Carolina Panthers? He's 5'10", so he kind of fits in with the group.
Pretty much, it would make him one of the taller receivers
here. What the hell is that sound? You trust all I wanted was the ringy-dingy. What about Laquon Treadwell from the Minnesota Vikings? $1.8 million in base. And then you have the decision on his fifth-year option due on May 2nd. 6'2", 221. I take Laquon Treadwell.
I have no issues with taking him. Why would they trade him?
I don't know.
First-round pick.
Yeah, that's right. Austin Carr, former Patriot preseason great Austin Carr. Really cheap, though.
That's really cheap. I think I'm good.
And the last one on the list is Emmanuel Sanders, who Denver just picked up his option. He's 32, but he's been connected to the Patriots for a long time. Over $10 million, though, guaranteed for him. All right, you don't like the money, but they need to throw to somebody. You got to consider that.
I have another option for you, not at wide receiver, but if you, in fact, think linebacker's an area of need.
Sure. I'll take a linebacker.
The Bengals just released Vontaze Burfict.
You know I like him. Don't play that. I love Vontaze Burfict.
Is he going to be able to stay on the field, not because of health?
He's a tough guy.
So you want Tyreek Hill here?
You want an intimidating presence.
I question that whole tough guy thing.
He's tough.
He seems to be a bit of a nitwit.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a loose cannon there, but I like him. I like Vontaze Burfict. He'd be a perfect Patriot.
I'd be the guy.
That's what everybody would say. If he did sign here, everybody would be like, that'd be great. Great stuff.
Just
classic Belichick.
All he wants to do is win.
He wants to win too much. That's what it is with him.
He cares too much.
That'd be great.
Vontaze Burfict is available.
He's going to play the highlight of when he peed the win against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs down. Right down his leg.
Yeah, you're going to play that?
Yeah, that's what.
You're having a hard enough time playing two cuts at once in there for some reason.
I'm doing a great job.
Now all of a sudden you're going to pull that? You're going to pull that?
Got a lot of compliments. Texting in. People love me.
No.
Well, he's available if you want him.
I do.
Go. No, I don't want
him. I do.
No, thank you.
Yeah, see? We got the riggy diggy.
Well, that's just you've intimidated him now. You were yelling at him before about.
He'd be a great Patriots Monday guest. Oh, I'd love to talk to Burfict every week.
Oh, yeah, then let him talk to us, right?
He's great.
Hey, Stacey, how about if we get huh?
The best was he had such a bad rap coming out of college, so he did this. Didn't he go undrafted or like seventh round, which was insane? So at one point, he was one of the top linebackers in the country, and he did this whole weird setup. His agent must have had him do it to sort of get like the PR, raise his profile a little bit. And it was him holding all these like pugs and like these little dogs. It was the most bizarre thing. He's like laying on this big couch with all these little dogs. I'm like, I don't know if this is going to help you at all, but good luck.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Keith's got a whole raft of possibilities. I think Jordy Nelson might be the easiest one of the bunch. Just don't let Pete Carroll get his name on a contract when he's out visiting there today. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio W.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
DEI.
No need to check the time as it's.
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
Paul, that's what you called it for crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
Has any team in the history of the National Football League begun their campaign to tank sooner than the Miami Dolphins have?
Oh, boy.
This might be the all-time record, the earliest tank job in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, they are certainly up there, aren't they? They're getting out ahead of it this year. It's March.
Do you think Brian Flores knew all this stuff before he took the job?
He had to have a pretty good idea when you looked at it and said, all right, who's your quarterback next year? And anytime you go in with, I don't know, you're in that mix for maybe having to tank.
It couldn't have been, I don't know. They had to have said to him, this is what we're going to do. This is what our plan is.
Their plan might be draft one. And then the question is, does he start game one or do you wait and start him at the end of the year? I think it was probably, hey, it's not going to be Tannehill. You see the landscape of quarterbacks like anybody else can. We're probably going to have to draft a guy and, you know, maybe move up in the draft or fingers crossed we just get the guy that we want. But there's no trade out there and there's no free agent. Now, I guess they were interested in Teddy Bridgewater, which I think is smart. That would have been a guy to actually bring in. But the situation in Miami is so bad that Bridgewater would rather be a backup in New Orleans than a starter in Miami. Doesn't that tell you? Maybe that tells you a little bit about Bridgewater, too. But that tells you a lot about the Miami situation, if you ask me.
Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick will? I mean, he has had success in small doses in the National Football League.
He has. He strikes me as kind of like Nick Foles in the sense where if you have to throw him in for a few games, I think you're actually not bad. Like, he's a serviceable NFL quarterback.
He's a great backup.
Yeah, he's a great backup. That's kind of the thing. And so if you go in saying, all right, he's going to start every game, he's going to be our guy, there is clearly a limit to how good you can be. His best year he had was that year, a few years ago, with the Jets. Didn't he go like 10-6 or whatever? And even that, it was going to run out. Like, there's going to be the game where Fitzpatrick throws 5 touchdowns and no picks, and everybody's like, look at this guy. What if he does this all year? And then just when you start to count on Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's the 1 touchdown, 4 interceptions, and a fumble game. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's not that good. And so you got to love him being on a third AFC East team, and now he's going to be in charge of the – how about the depth chart for quarterbacks? And it's funny because it's so easy to make fun of Ryan Tannehill and be like, oh, Tannehill sucks. All right, they have Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jake Rudock, and Luke Falk.
Yeesh.
Good luck.
Did you see the Manish Mehta thing last week where he was ranking the AFC East quarterbacks?
He said for 2019.
Right, for this upcoming season.
So he tweeted this out Friday, I think, after we got off the air. He had number 4. He had, at that point, whoever is the Miami quarterback.
Right.
You're like, okay. Number 3, Josh Allen. Number 2, Tom Brady.
Number 2 is Tom Brady. The second best quarterback in the AFC East.
A little silly. Little nuts.
Because, spoiler alert,
yeah,
he says Sam Darnold will be the best quarterback in the AFC East next year.
I don't think that he will be. I think at some point Sam Darnold will be the best quarterback in the AFC, or AFC East. But that year will probably be when Brady's out of the league. Like, I didn't see enough of a drop-off last year, or even enough good things from Darnold. He had a couple of games where he was good, and to his credit, the offensive line is so bad in New York that not a lot of guys would have looked good with the Jets no matter what. But I think Le'Veon Bell helps him out a lot. It has to. But no. I mean, that's just Manish Mehta. He's a great troll.
He is clickbait, isn't he?
He
has got clickbait down to a science.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's good at it. And by the way, he's counting on you, Patriot Nation, to go click in that bait.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go take it. Yeah, I'll just troll a little. Throw my line out there.
Yep, go ahead. And we're like, no, there's no way Darnold's better. And he just sits back and watches it all unfold. Going back to Fitzpatrick for a second, How many what team do you think this will be for him? How many teams has he been on?
Six.
This will be his eighth. His eighth team.
He's playing in 1/4 of the league.
Yeah. Buffalo. So, yeah, this is an order of the most seasons. Buffalo, Cincinnati, the Jets, the Rams, Tampa, Houston, Tennessee. Now, Miami. And these are his records as a starting quarterback each year. 0-3, 4-7-1, 4-4, 4-9, 6-10, 6-10, 3-6, 6-6, that 1-10-6 year that I mentioned, then 3-8, 2-1, 2-5. Like you,
he's had one season with a winning percentage above 500.
Right.
Now, not his fault. He's played on some pretty crummy teams, too.
He has. And they didn't even make the playoffs that year, right? I don't think they did. I think they were 10-6 and maybe lost out on a tiebreaker or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where if your team brings him in as the backup, great. But if you bring him in and with any idea of starting, it's like, why even play the season? Why even go out there? And so Brian Flores.
Can you imagine selling this to your fan base in Miami? You know, hey, come on out, South Florida, because we are championship driven.
It should, yeah. It should help Flores' job security, though, right? Because the expectations are not to win any games. Whereas, like, Matt Patricia goes to Detroit, and you're taking over a 9-7 team. So you better improve on that. You better make the playoffs, or what are you doing? But if Brian Flores goes down to Miami, and they're like, hey, yeah, we're basically going to have Ryan Fitzpatrick or a rookie quarterback this year. I don't think you're expected to win anything. And then, you get a year to sort of get your footing and then hopefully be better the following season.
Well, I would think, that poor Brian Flores, and he must have some sort of assurance from the ownership and management there in Florida. Hey, we're not taking anything away from you if you don't win games this year. This is not your fault.
That's what I'm saying. Bye year. Like, there's no... The team was bad a year ago, and then it's just worse now. But this, once again, like, everything's coming up Patriots, isn't it? When you look around the league, and first of all, the division, it's really going to be the only real competition they're going to have, and I'm not saying, like, for the division title, but just, their only real team would be if Sam Darnold makes a big jump up. Because they did sign C.J. Mosley, and they did sign Le'Veon Bell. So if all of a sudden you get good quarterback play, maybe they're not terrible. The Bills and Dolphins are both going to be terrible. The Steelers are going to be worse. The Chiefs are going to be worse.
Might be even worse than we know right now.
So who do you got? Like, who else do you have there in the AFC? So maybe that's why they're like, you know what? Well, we don't even need wide receivers.
The Chargers are pretty good.
Chargers are good. I think the Chiefs would have been the next best team. We'll see with Tyreek Hill how much he even plays. And then the Browns. I like the Browns. You know, I know they're the flavor of the month or whatever, but
can they make
like
that big
doing.
A leap, though?
I think so, because last year they were 7-8-1. So can they win two or three more games? They might have won two or three more games had they fired Hugh Jackson earlier or started Baker Mayfield earlier. So, yeah, I think if they go like 11-5, I wouldn't be shocked at all. And in that division, that would probably win it, you know, because the Ravens, I don't think they're going to be great.
Steelers
are going to be worse, and the Bengals are trash. So, yeah, I think the Browns are... Tyreek Hill is the wild card here, but Cleveland could be the second best team in the conference based on what's happening to everybody else.
America's collective head will explode.
I know,
the Patriots
are back again? Into another like the Super Patriots, Bowl. Yeah, the Patriots are rolling right along with Bruce Ellington as one of their targets. And Maurice Harris.
And
they don't even need receivers.
And Rob Gronkowski will absolutely, positively,
right.
100%. Be out there as a target for Tom Brady.
He's just keeping it a secret, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
Maybe he told one of the people at Hot Yoga yesterday.
He's also, by the way, not saying he's gone. So
no, he's not. But I'm getting less confident that he's going to retire. But each day we're getting nothing. So it's like, when are we going to find out? And the team has to, at the very least, want to know before the draft. Like, Rob, what are we doing here? Like, can we count on you to come back or no? They'll probably have to draft a tight end anyway, but I think they're going to want to know.
They may already know. Remember, now Drew Rosenhaus spoke to the team.
Yeah, I know, but I think they're trying to figure out the contract. I think they're trying to. I think it still comes back to money. I know he said, "Ah, it's got nothing to do with that," but it always does.
I believe that too.
It always does.
Yeah, I believed it has nothing to do with money. Right. In the same way, I believed I have no idea what he's going to do. He hasn't even told me.
Could be anything.
And I'm not buying that either.
No, I wouldn't say so.
617-779-7937. Paul's on the cell. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's going on?
I think we've gotten our fill of Dolphins talk for the day. So
you think
I would hope so.
A lot of Dolphins fans in Rhode Island, which I can't understand.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was an underrated running back.
Well, I'd like to jump in with some Celtics talk, and I think I can actually help Keith and a lot of people out because
thank you.
I think I have figured out what's going on with this Anthony Davis Kyrie crap.
What do you got?
So I think now, obviously, if we're looking at what Danny wants to do, it makes sense that he wants to get Anthony Davis. But if we look at everything, look at when Kyrie first got here, what were they talking about? Kyrie was excited because not only was he going to be the main guy, but he was going to have a say in the team building. And
Who said that?
Yeah, who said that?
They talked about that. He said it specifically. He wanted to. Him and Danny had talked, and he was excited about the chance to, you know, have some input in the team that was going to be around him.
I'll play along.
Guy.
All right. So okay. What's your point?
So I got a few quick ones here. First,
sure.
The drama, right? So we had the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. Everyone's saying that Davis is going to come here. Irving had said there were rumors that he was annoyed with how anxious the Celtics were to get him. And I don't know if you guys looked at all at the recent podcast where Kyrie and Tatum were on together.
Yes, knuckleheads.
Okay.
Yes.
And he said a few of the really, just a few quotes, the thing about,
oh my God,
you know, being ridiculously dominant. And then he said the one thing that Irving's friendship on the team started and ended with Tatum.
Yep, that's his best spot on the team.
My question is it possible that Kyrie actually went to Danny Ainge and told him he was not comfortable with giving up all those pieces for Davis, and that he used New York as leverage to say, if you're going to trade all the future and give me 2 years of championship contention and then a rebuild, I'm just going to go and sign with my buddy in New York.
No, because they haven't even had a chance to trade for him. So I don't think Kyrie would never have had that conversation with Danny. He would never have said, don't trade Tatum for Anthony Davis. That conversation never would have come up because guess what? They couldn't have traded for him at the deadline anyway because of that stupid Rose rule. And if you had Kyrie on the team, you couldn't also have Anthony Davis on the team. And so Kyrie is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So he could stay or leave no matter what. It's completely up to him. They have the best possible trade package to get Anthony Davis in the offseason, but we still have a whole playoff run to go and a lot will still be determined, and Danny Ainge is still going to make the decision on that. Kyrie may give him some input. I guess superstar players give input all the time, but it's all up to Danny Ainge.
Input? I mean, they probably have conversations all the time. The single biggest criticism you've ever had, well, you've had many, but the biggest one of LeBron James is he's basically running the team.
Well, no.
He's picking the coach. He's picking the players.
If he wants to do that, fine. But you then can't complain about it. That's my problem with LeBron, is LeBron would fire the coach, hire the coach, you know, give Tristan Thompson a max deal, then complain that they don't have more stuff on the team. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't be the GM and then also criticize the GM. It's like, well, then you're criticizing yourself. Leave these other guys alone. But I think Danny, whether he wants to or not, would have to have the conversation with Kyrie, hey, if we bring in Anthony Davis, are you going to stay? And if we don't, are you going to leave? Or like, however that comes up. Like, is there something that we can do to keep you here?
That's input, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That's not Kyrie going to Danny Ainge and saying, hey, listen,
sign this guy.
We're not giving up all these guys to get Anthony Davis. We're not doing that.
No.
I mean, then you're the general manager, in effect.
Right.
Having input. Hey, Kyrie, if we get this guy, would you think about signing on here?
I think that's probably the key to it. I'll have to figure it out because you never know which Kyrie you're going to get. Sometimes after games he says one thing and then he says another thing. And so I'm sure Danny Ainge knows that better than anybody. And so when the season is over, those are going to be some weird conversations, I think. You know, is he committed to coming back? Is he going to just sign a one-year deal? Is he actually going to sign a long-term deal? Or is he just going to go to New York? Like, who the hell knows?
617-779-7937. Bob's on the cell phone. Hey, Bob.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Thanks for letting me join the conversation.
No problem. Sure.
Talking about how Bill Belichick, you know, he always, like, lies low in the weeds and that kind of stuff, and seeing how the AFC West is going and the strides that Cleveland has made, I'm willing to say right now that to put another notch in Belichick's gun belt, so to say, it's going to be the AFC championship will be Cleveland against New England, and one more former team from Belichick that he puts down. What do you guys think about that?
I like it. I think it could be. I could definitely see it being Cleveland.
People
Patriots.
In Cleveland would lose their minds even further,
they would.
Wouldn't they?
They would.
If they climbed back to an AFC championship level, and then Bill Belichick puts his throat on their neck. But
if they just made it to the AFC championship game, that would be like being in the Super Bowl for them. I mean, just getting to the playoffs would be such a huge deal. Although now, the expectations are certainly growing. When you look at the landscape of their division, let alone the conference, they seem pretty loaded. And so as long as those star guys all stay healthy, I would think the Browns would be there. Now, they haven't made the announcement yet on what the opening night game is going to be for the Patriots, right, officially?
And it's funny because it made sense to me that, you know, you'd have the Patriots and the Browns with all the interest. But I saw Mike Reese write about this weekend. He said that game may be too good for the opening weekend. In other words, you're going to get people watching opening weekend anyway.
Right.
And God, I know Patriots fans are not going to want to hear this, but what Mike Reese suggested is that the NFL may be looking at the Pats and the Jets.
What?
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
and
Sam Darnold.
You know, their reload. Now, I got to be honest, as a Patriots fan, I'm not too cranked up about, you know, raising the banner with the Jets on the other side.
Well, actually, you know what? I'll spin it this way for you.
Okay.
I'd prefer the Jets because that would still be a win. And the Patriots, the first 4 weeks of the season, never really play like the real Patriots. So give them a few gimmies in the first week.
Although Manish Mehta would tell you,
I understand.
Quarterback on the other side.
But think about that. If they play the Browns in week 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever, they're going to be more at full strength and it might be a better match. The game itself might be a whole lot better. Because we've seen them have some kind of rough starts to the season.
I mean,
that'd be the only positive. But
I thought Jets. Cleveland made all the sense in the world.
Yeah,
you know, with their rebuild and with what they've done and Odell Beckham Jr. and all that. But Reese made the point they may want to save that for sweeps month because that's going to be
an even
bigger thing.
But because the Giants were another team that was thrown out there, right? But now that they lost Odell, I mean, no thanks. Saquon Barkley's great and all, but I don't need to see that.
Eli Manning lobbing. Ugh. Water balloons over the line of scrimmage.
No,
I think we're good with that.
No.
We'll give you the update on the Bruins injury situation when we come back in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Let's give you an injury update for the Boston Bruins. They got Jake DeBrusk back for Saturday's game at home. And he played in the game, the win, the overtime win over the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The Conor McGregor game.
The Conor McGregor
game. That's
how it's
forever known.
Being referred to.
Yes.
David Pastrnak practiced today, regular practice, with his line mates, by the way, with Marchand and Bergeron, because there was a question of where he was going to go back. He is described by Bruce Cassidy as possible to play tomorrow night against the Islanders. Game time decision. I think that means he's playing. Matt Grzelcyk, Marcus Johansson, Torrey Krug all skated before practice today. They are going on the road trip, all three of them, which means at some point during this four-game trip, they're going to be ready to go. Kevin Miller skated before practice as well, but he's not ready. He's not going on the trip. So, you know, his return, I don't know. But it looks like they got DeBrusk back Saturday. It looks like Pasternak comes back tomorrow. Grzelcyk, Johansson, and Krug all at some point during this four-game trip.
So, I mean, the way things are going, the way they're trending, they're going to be 100% healthy come playoff time. Like, that's it.
Yes.
They got 10 games to go.
I mean, barring somebody else getting hurt.
And that's how it happens.
Yes.
Somebody will. You know, Pasternak will join the lineup tomorrow. Somebody will go down, but whatever. But it's not like years past where you had guys that were just on the shelf and, like, forget it. They're done. They're out of sight, out of mind. Go back. Remember a couple of years ago, they had, what, two of their top seven defensemen or whatever it was that were healthy, and they had to burn a year of McAvoy and all that other stuff. Whereas this year, it looks like they're coming back. And good news for Pasternak is, it's not back, and then your first game is a playoff game.
No.
It is. You have 10 games to get adjusted, and maybe Cassidy will even sort of pick and choose the playing time for some of these guys. You still need home ice in the first round, but maybe Chara gets a couple of games off. He's not going to want to do it, but maybe you give him a couple of games off, and that way they're even as close to 100% as possible come round one.
But it would appear that they're going to be, you know, maybe by the end of the week, as close to healthy as they've been in months.
Because wouldn't you say that
was guys back?
And not they don't need excuses, but after their 19-point streak came to an end, 19-game point streak came to an end, they lost three in a row. But a lot of it was just kind of caught up to them.
They were missing six regulars out of their lineup.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Three of their six defensemen were on the sideline: Grzelcyk, Krug, and Miller. Three of their top forwards: Johansson, who they just got. But then also you were missing DeBrusk, you were missing Pasternak.
It kind of catches up. That's a lot. You know, that's a lot of goal scoring. That's a lot of your defensemen. And, you know, you played pretty good teams as well. Like that also kind of was, what, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Winnipeg on that little losing streak. Then you were able to bounce back and, you know, get the win on Saturday. But now you get another little road trip. But they can start to put things in order and sort of prepare themselves for the playoffs. So they're actually in a pretty good spot, considering all the games. Like, if you added up all the games that they have missed from their regulars this year, it's been a ton.
But the 42-year-old defenseman,
he keeps playing.
He is ready to go.
He's ready to rock.
Zdeno Chara turned 42 today, if you're just joining us.
We already played the song. Don't worry. We already played the song. Yeah.
The Bruins did apparently present Chara with a birthday cake in the dressing room after practice.
Oh, they got him a cake? Does he even eat cake?
Well, that was the thing.
Oh, okay.
There was a pretty good bet among the team that he wouldn't eat any of the cake.
Oh, God.
Bruce Cassidy said, I think it's bad luck if you don't have a bite of your own birthday cake.
That is probably true, right? You got to have a cake. I mean, especially if you're going to blow candles out and make a wish. At that point, you better eat the cake.
The players would not share what the theme on the top of the cake was.
Ooh, X-rated?
Is that
what you're guessing?
I don't know.
They didn't want to say what it was?
I'm guessing it probably wasn't.
Graphic?
But apparently it might have had some Game of Thrones connection or something.
Well, why couldn't they make that? Why couldn't they talk about that? Just want to keep it secret?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess you can't say
a lot of nudity on that show in the early season.
That is true. They kind of really walked that back, which is disappointing. Why do you think that is?
Maya Clark said she didn't want to do nudity anymore.
I know, but there was also male nudity. There were equal opportunity nudity. Man, woman, dragon.
Now, supposedly,
giant,
there was
troll.
Also a guest, by the way, that you'd like this.
Sea creature. Yeah.
You'd like this.
I'm listening.
That the other part of the, if it wasn't a Game of Thrones theme on the front of the cake, on the top
Peaky
of the cake.
Peaky Blinders.
Could have been Thanos.
Oh, I like that. Thanos. That's pretty good. See, these guys are a bunch of dorks on this team.
He kind of looks sort of,
he's not as purple.
Not a lot of hair.
Yeah, bald.
You know, built like a brick you-know-what.
That's true. I bet Charles taller than him. Maybe not as wide.
No, Thanos is a little wider.
Well, that's pretty good.
But there was a thought that it might have been that on the cake. But they presented him with his birthday cake today, and as we said earlier, that now means his defense partner is half his age.
So I have a feeling that they're going to start up a new point streak, and we're going to call it the Conor McGregor streak, because they are now 1-0 since Conor McGregor was in that dressing room. And Dale, I think the sky's the limit. If they go on to win the cup this year, I think we're going to look back and say, remember?
Conor McGregor.
The day before St. Patrick's Day?
They'd have to bring him back during the playoffs, wouldn't
they? Would, yeah. I don't know what his fee would be. I don't think he does that, you know, for nothing. But, yeah, they'd have to bring him back.
Conor McGregor could be like the Drew Bledsoe for the Celtics last year.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Scary showing up to games.
The Terry Rozé, which... Oh, you have an update on that,
Rossi? I have a fun fact. Yesterday,
yeah.
I was celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
Who, you were?
I was.
Oh, is that right?
Yep, I was taking
Rossi's
part in the festivities.
A very well-known Irish name.
Yeah. Yes, I think I might have 1% Irish in me, but nonetheless, I saw a scary Terry shirt.
Oh, my God. Really?
I saw one out
was
there.
Was Terry Rozier wearing it?
It was not Terry Rozier. Yes, it was his birthday, too, by the way.
Great.
Did you see who else is back?
That was on the top of his cake. It was a Terry Rozier logo. A scary Terry.
A scary Terry,
yeah. Did you see who else is back?
Who's back? Oh, yeah, tonight? Big night at the Garden tonight.
Well, he was looking for a place
he
to
was looking
practice.
Looking for a run.
Looking for a game.
Isaiah Thomas is back.
Supposedly Emerson, they were saying Emerson had a game, and he said, I'll be right over.
He's like, why not?
Okay, yeah, that's good.
The guy loves it. He loves this one little breakfast spot in Ball Square. I've seen him over there, and somebody was like, oh, yeah, he's here all the time. Like, he's like one of his favorite spots. I was like, oh, all right.
Which one, Sound Bites or Ball Square Cafe?
That one.
I used to be a regular there myself.
Oh, is that right? That was when you were, yeah, okay. Were you living there?
No, my wife, my now wife was living there.
Gotcha.
So is there any possibility, because God, he just waxes poetic.
He loves
his time
Boston.
Here. Loved his time here, loved the fans, loved living here.
Yeah.
Was a little bit upset when, you know, you got to go.
Yeah, he was sad about that. Anthony Davis's father was upset for him. It was a whole big to-do. You got to imagine with some of the Kyrie Irving soap opera that has taken place this year, that Isaiah Thomas has to find a little joy in that. He does. He has to kind of laugh a little bit. You know, when Kyrie is yelling at teammates and all that other stuff. The question is, though...
I mean, fans love him. They'd love to see him back.
Course.
But is there a spot for him here?
Well, it's funny you say that, because my initial thought would be, no, like, you know, his time is up. It's gone. He's not going to be a Celtic ever again. But... this year, he's played 9 games, and we'll see what kind of role he ends up having with Denver. But, you know, he's fighting back from the injury. He's not the same player that he was. But both Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier are both free agents. And you wouldn't think that they would lose both of them, but what if they did? Now you're going to be looking for a point guard, and I don't think you want him to be your starting point guard. At least he's a long ways away from that. He's a long ways away from where he was a All-NBA second-team player. He's not that guy. But could he be a scorer off the bench? Could he be like a little bit of a, you know, a guy that
don't
can run that second
you get the feeling he
unit?
Would take any role at all if he could come back here and put his Celtics jersey back on?
Yeah, because he's not the same guy that was talking about backing up the Brinks truck. You know, I think he'd be happy to play here. The fans absolutely love him.
Although he did sort of hint at it, too.
What, the Brinks truck?
Well, not the Brinks truck, but he hinted at, you know, cashing in when he became a free agent and...
What, this upcoming season?
No,
then. Oh, then. He absolutely did
absolutely.
Then. But I'm saying I think he would have to change things from that. Like, I think he has to be realistic about what he might be worth. But the idea to be on a title-contending team back in Boston where he loves it, because he's been on a handful of teams in the league, and he doesn't have that same feeling, it doesn't seem like, anywhere else. You know, he played in Sacramento. He played in Phoenix. He played it barely with both the Lakers and the Cavs. Now he's in Denver. So out of all those places, he clearly has an attachment to the Celtics. And what I once thought was just completely unrealistic, the idea of him coming back, I could see it, because he's not going to make a lot of money next year. And if they're just looking to add some veterans, they're going to have to maybe remake their bench. Marcus Morris is a free agent. I mentioned how Rozier's a free agent. Maybe he actually could be back, which is kind of crazy to think.
Fans would love it.
He's going to get a big ovation, though, tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Going to get the big deal. He's getting the video tribute, too, right? Is that what they're saying?
There's been so many rumors about this video tribute.
Rumors about...
I mean, the video...
He didn't get it the first time. He got a little one the second time.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah,
about...
that bugged me. That actually really bothered me.
You want him to get one?
No. Like, him talking about whether he's getting one or not. It's like, you do or you don't. And first of all, they give out too many.
You don't lobby for it.
No, like, you get one, great. You can't say, well, I'm not playing that game, but, you know, maybe next game. Like, no. And he got traded anyway. It was like a whole, like, he was not in a position to talk about that. And then he even made it out like it was his idea, and then he didn't. And then he had those comments about Pierce, and I was like, don't you dare talk about Paul Pierce. That's Paul Pierce's night.
The Bruins have a policy, for lack of a better term, where they only do it if you were on the Cup team. Like when Adam McQuaid came back.
Oh, okay.
They did a video tribute because he was on that Cup team. You know, you come back.
The Celtics do it for everybody.
You have one.
I have one. They're like, hey, look who's back. Yes.
Hey, it's little Richie Keefe.
Like Kelly Olynyk, like Evan Turner. Like Big Baby got one, didn't he? Like Nate Robinson. Like everybody.
I was told that the Bruins policy is
that makes
if
sense.
A guy comes back who was on the Cup team, we do a little video tribute for him. When McQuaid came back the first time, I mean, it was fans were all enthusiastic. They loved the guy anyway.
But it got so outrageous that it became such a topic. Like, it should just be you either get one and you see it and you don't even realize it. And like one of your teammates has to bump you on the shoulder and say, hey, look at that. And it's a little high, like a 30-second or a minute highlight reel of you. And then they put the camera on you, standing ovation. Now inbound the ball.
You
let's
give
get
a
going.
Wave,
hey,
and,
thanks.
And
you can you go. Blow kisses to the crowd.
Well, that might be too much.
No, not for Isaiah. I think it'd be a nice moment. Then you inbound the ball, and then you're off and running.
And then they take you out of the game.
Then you're done. And then, because they're you're all set.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It may be, Rich.
Yes.
That video games are ruining sports.
I doubt it, but I'll play along. It might just be that Fortnite is the
undoing.
We're back. Oh, no.
Oh, well, we'll tell you about that coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.